1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, let's follow the reading of God's precious word. And we commence reading at verse number 9. Verse number 9 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake them in pieces, the rocks, before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael, the king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abimelech, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed hence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? He returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt minister to our hearts right now, that thou wilt take up thy word, and, O God, that thou wilt bless it to our souls. We pray that we might hear thee speak, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In our last study of Elijah, we found him in a cave. It was a place, the Bible says, he intended to lodge there, verse number 9, came thither unto a cave and lodged there. He intended to stay there, but God had a different plan for the servant of the Lord. God wanted his child to get back into the service of the Master. If you look there in verse number 11, it says, And God saith, and the Lord saith, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. In other words, get back to the place of standing before the Lord where he used to be. He stood before the Lord in intercession. We read about that in James chapter 5, before he ever ventured out onto this work for God. But because he stood before the Lord in prayer, then he stood before Ahab the king, and he challenged the king concerning the sin of the nation and the worship of Baal. Then he stood before the children of Israel and the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he challenged them that day to choose whom they would serve. And that day the Lord answered by fire. But God finds him here lodging in a cave. Now you'll notice that Elijah didn't move immediately, but God did. But God did. Because no sooner did God say, go forth, verse number 11, and stand upon the mount before the Lord, it says, behold, the Lord passed by. And God intervened here in Elijah's life by a mighty intervention, because he had done this in the days that were past. He did the spectacular for Elijah in the days that were past. But as we read the last occasion, it says that God was not in the wind, and God was not in the earthquake, and God was not in the fire. It wasn't a spectacular that God was going to use in this particular time. But God was going to use a different method. God was going to speak with that still, small voice. And so therefore, I want you to notice that God uses different methods on different occasions to fulfill his plan and his purpose. Number verse 11 says, and behold, the Lord passed by. Now, it doesn't say he passed by Elijah. That does not say that. It says he passed by. He didn't bypass Elijah. But God passed by, and God was revealing himself. And God passed by, and the great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it. And so we find here that God was going to use something small, something ordinary, something that was common. It was a still, small voice. God was going to speak quietly. He was going to speak gently to his child, but God was speaking in a way that was going to touch his heart. And that's where the work of God is done. It is done in the hearts of men and women. Now it says, God spoke with a still, small voice, and Elijah heard it. You see, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. And I asked you this morning, are you listening for God? Are you quiet before the Lord to hear that still, small voice of God? You see, that still, small voice of God was designed for Elijah to soothe and calm Elijah's troubled spirit because he was in turmoil. And it was only that still, small voice and the word that God spoke unto him with that still, small voice. It was a word of kindness. It was a word of tenderness to God's child in the moment whenever he was in turmoil. And once again, we see the evidence of God's love for his child. And the interesting thing was this. The wind didn't move Elijah. And the fire didn't move Elijah. And the earthquake didn't move Elijah. But the still, small voice did. And it says in verse 13, and it was so that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, he went out. And he stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And it was that still, small voice that moved God's child. You see, to get God's blessing, it says here, go forth. It says he went out. In other words, he had to obey the word from God. To get God's blessing, he had to leave his lonely haunt. That solitary place where he had hidden himself away. He was going to lodge there. He was going to stay there. I'm not going out again. I'm not going to face man again. I'm not going to face the king again. I'm not going to face the children of Israel again. I'm not facing anyone again. I'm in a dark cave, and that's where I'm staying. And there God says, go forth. Stand on the mount before me. And it says he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave. You see, up to this moment, he took the situation into his own hands, friend, to be honest. It was a mess. He was absolutely consumed with trouble. Now's the time to listen to God. The still, small voice of God. Is your ear open to hear his word? Do you want to hear a word from God today? Now, don't you notice what God tells him? First of all, in verse number 15, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus." Go, return. There's the commission. See, God has still a plan for him. Even though Elijah was so discouraged, he thought his usefulness was over, God still had a plan. And God says, to do that, you've got to go and return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. He was to return to Israel, but he was to go through Syria. And what God was saying to him is this: I want you to start serving me again. That's what he's saying. I want you to start serving me again. What an encouragement. He was still going to be a blessing to the people of God again. He was given another assignment from the Lord, which proved to him that God was not finished with him yet. And let me tell you, friend, if God hadn't a planned assignment for your life, then he'd take you home to heaven. He'd remove you from here. But as long as God wants you here, God has a planned assignment, but you've got to do what God says. Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. God's plan. Do you remember Jonah? He ran away from God, but thank God, God still had a plan. And God was still able to use Jonah again. You remember Peter? Remember Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. And you say, well, God's finished with him. He goes out and he weeps bitterly. He repents of his sin. And then he turns to the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the second chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, there he's standing fearless for God, preaching the word of God. And God says that there were 3,000 souls that were added to the church that day. And God continued to add them daily. Such as we're being saved. And so what the word of God was saying afresh was this: his failure was not final. And what God says is this: go, return, retrace your steps, and go back to the place of duty. Go back to the place of duty. Retrace your steps. And friend, that's what God would say to you and me today. If you're missing the blessing of God in your life, if you're missing the joy of the Lord, and it's no longer your strength because you're sour with God, and my friend, listen, you say, well, I want to get back to that place of blessing, then retrace your steps. Return to the place of duty. Keep your hand there. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. The story tells us about Abram, the call of God to Abram. Go down to verse number 10. Genesis 12, verse 10, or verse 9, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And when he was down there in Egypt, out of the will of God, he was missing the blessing. Then turns chapter 13. Verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place, mark this, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. On to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. In other words, he got back to the Bethel. He got back to the place of blessing. He got back to the place of worship. On to the place where he had been at the beginning. And that's what God says to Elijah. Get back. Get back to the place of duty. We read this morning in Revelation chapter 2. And God says, thou hast left thy first love. And friend, be honest before God this morning. Is that true in our hearts today? We have left our first love. We'll have something else. And we have lost out with God. But of course the old devil says there's no way back. There's no hope. Turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 12. And this is God said, has sent his servant Jeremiah. Verse number 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep my anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the stranger, unto every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. The Lord said to Peter, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. And so God not only restores Elijah's soul, but he restores him back to service. And you know, God gives him a huge honor. Notice what it says there in verse number 15. He says, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king. Now that was an honor which God gave to the prophet and to God's servant Samuel. And God says, listen, I want you, Elijah, I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And I want you to anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi. And I want you to anoint him as king over Israel. And I want you to anoint Elisha. Here once again we see how gracious God is. Anoint Hazael. Anoint Jehu. Anoint Elisha. Now who was Hazael? Hazael was to be one of God's main chastening rods to punish Israel for their sin of following Baal. The punishment was going to be severe because Hazael was a brutal butcher. But he served as the rod of God to bring divine justice. Who was Jehu? Jehu was the one who rode furiously. But Jehu was the one that was going to bring to an end Ahab and Jezebel. That wicked, wicked, ungodly reign would come to an end. And then God says, I want you to anoint Elisha. And what he was saying to God's servant was this. God says that you're going to outlive all of these things. God will vindicate his child. And all the trials and all the events that brought Elisha or Elijah's spirit down, God says they're coming to an end. And God says, I'll bring you through. And maybe there's someone here this morning and you say, listen, but there's no way out. There's no way out of my trouble. What about God, friend? What about God? There's no way out of my situation. What about God, friend? Where is God? We can sing the choruses. We can sing the hymns. God is still upon the throne. But where is he this morning? I'll tell you. Still reigning. Still sovereign. Still on his throne. He'll see me through. Psalm 46. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our very present help in trouble. And maybe this morning you're walking through very difficult, dark valleys. Maybe they're deep. Well, when I look at this prophet Elijah, you know what it tells me? Thank God it's not going to last. Yea, though I walk through the valley. God will not leave his children in the valley. And one day you'll pass through it, and one day you'll walk out of it. You know why? Because God is faithful to his word. God is able to bring you out. Yes, life has its valley experiences. Yes, life has its struggles. Yes, life has its problems. Yes, life has its disappointments. But we serve a greater God, friends, someone who's bigger than all of those things. It's not enough for us to say, well, I believe that, but do we live it? A God who is bigger than all of the situations. He says, listen, go forth, Elijah. He says, go return, Elijah, back to the path of duty. That's the commission. But notice, he just doesn't give him a pat on the back and say, well, listen, do all of that. No, here's the comfort. Look at verse 18. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now God gives him a comfort. And here's the comfort, friend. He says, listen, Elijah, my work's not done. And you're not alone. You're not alone. Elijah complained twice. That he says, I am left. And he says, they're even seeking my life to take it away. He felt so alone. And God says, listen, I want to tell you, Elijah. He says, 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed the knee to Baal, every mouth which has not kissed him. In other words, there's others too, Elijah. There's others too that will stand. You're not alone. And friend, let me tell you, when you're down in that valley, to be quite honest with you, you feel you are alone. You can have a crowd around you. But you feel alone. Alone. That's how Elijah felt. And God says, listen, Elijah, you're not. 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal. And friend, let me tell you, when Elijah felt he was alone, he was so discouraged, he was so disheartened, he was running away, he was giving up, he was hiding away. Because he felt so alone. God says there's 7,000. My, what encouragement. What fresh hope that God gives to his child. You know, some of the commentators say that God's rebuking Elijah here for his pessimism. But some of the commentators said, no, he's not. There's a difference of opinion of what God is saying here to Elijah. Because let me tell you, some of the commentators said, well, listen, if there were the 7,000, where were they before? Where were all Elijah's friends? You know, if it had been a few hundred and never mind 7,000, it would have been encouraging on the Mount Carmel, wouldn't it? They say, we're with you, brother. We're with it. Where were they? But you see, the Hebrew allows another rendering of those words. Yet I will leave me 7,000. In other words, listen, Elijah, my work's not going to finish. Don't you worry. My work's not finishing. My work's going to go on. And there will be a remnant for me. And my friend, even in the days, the darkest days of apostasy, God always has his remnant testimony. And there will be, in the last days, there will be a remnant testimony that will stand true to God. And God says, I'm going to raise up others. And they're going to carry on my work. And there will still be 7,000 who will not bow the knee to Baal, neither will they kiss his hand. Be encouraged, Elijah. Be encouraged. My work's not going to end. But be encouraged, Elijah. Neither's yours. Because the devil has driven you into that cave. But Elijah, I brought you out of it. I brought you out. And I want you to go for me. And don't you worry. Here's the comfort. My work's going to go on. And then very quickly, notice not only the commission and the comfort, but notice the companion. Notice the companion. You see, whenever Elijah left the cave, friend, look at verse 19. He departed thence, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Do you remember whenever Elijah ran for his life at the beginning of chapter 19? Look at verse number 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And when Elijah went into the wilderness, friend, he left a servant in Beersheba. Now God knew it wasn't good for his servant to be alone. So God gave him a companion. He gave him a fellow laborer. One who would one day, whenever God was finished with Elijah, whenever God designed it, whenever God desired it, when God was going to take his child and glorify and take him up into glory, one who would take on the ministry whenever Elijah's day had ended. Notice what it says in verse 21, and ministered unto him. And that's what Elisha was to do. He was to administer. And the word is to attend to contribute, to serve. God gave him one to walk beside him. Through the valleys, through the difficulties, through the days of testing. And the interesting thing was this. God told him to anoint Hazael, the king. God told him to anoint Jehu, the king. But who did Elisha go to first? Elijah go to first. Elisha the prophet. Elisha, the one that was out ploughing in the field. The fellow laborer, the fellow servant. The one who would contribute and attend unto him. The one who would minister unto him. Now what is God saying to us in this? Listen. We don't need to cut ourselves off from others. Don't cut yourself off. Sometimes whenever you're in a lonely place, friend, that's what you want to do. Pull down the curtains, pull down the blinds, shut the door, and forget about the world. He left a servant in Beersheba. I don't hear about a servant after that. But God gives him a companion. A fellow laborer to go with him. And friend, what a blessing it is to have a friend that Elijah can confide in. Someone who, whenever Elijah hurts, helps him to bear the load. One who prays with him, and one who prays for him. One who cried with him, one who labored with him.
One who didn't always understand him, but nevertheless cared for him. And that's what God gave Elijah. A friend. One who ministered unto him.
I read a story this week concerning World War I. The two young lads that grew up together, they went through school together, they enlisted together, they trained together, they were shipped across into battle together, they fought side by side in trenches. And during one of the attacks, one of the men got critically wounded in the field of battle. It was a field that was filled with barbed wire obstacles, and that young man was unable to crawl back to his trench. The entire area was under fire. It was suicidal to try and reach that young fella. But you know, his friend, he couldn't leave it there. He decided to try. And so he was about to get out of the trench whenever a sergeant yanked him back, and he brought him back, and he ordered him, said, "Listen, it's too late. You cannot do any good. You'll only get killed yourself." The officer turned to carry on directing the men, and a few minutes later, that young lad instantly jumped out of the trench. And he crawled through the barbed wire field, and the crossfire was going on every side, but he went to his friend. And then he lifted up his friend in his arms, and he brought him back. But as he staggered back, he was mortally wounded. He dropped with his friend, who is now dead, in the trench. And the sergeant was angry, and he said to him, "What a waste! He's dead and you're dying. It just wasn't worth it." Before that young lad died, he turned to him, "Sarge," and he said this, "Sarge." "Oh yes, it was Sarge. For when I got to him, the only thing he said was this: I knew you'd come, Jim. I knew you'd come." Then he died. You know what the Bible says, friend? Proverbs 17:17. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And that's what Elisha was. Because you read the story. Elijah said, "Elisha, I'm going to Bethel." He says, "I'm going with you." He says, "I'm going over Jordan." "I'm going with you." Right to the end. There's a commission. There's a comfort. There's a companion. Let me say this before I just bring the last thought. You say, "Well, where can I find such a friend?" Let me tell you, we have one. Because in our hearts there's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And before the Savior went to heaven, he said this: "I'll not leave you as an orphan, my children. I'll come to you." And he sent the Comforter. And he says, "And he will abide with you." That's the friend and companion you need. The Spirit of God. Because he can minister to all your needs. The last thought is this: the conquered. Verse 19.
So he departed hence. Now, let me tell you, this wasn't going to be an easy journey. Do you know how long Elijah went? Here? 165 miles through desert. 165 miles. It wasn't going to be an easy journey. But thank God it says, so he departed thence. And you know what that means? Hallelujah. He's on the road to recovery. He's back in harness. He's back in service. Serving the Lord again. He departed and found Elisha. Listen, some people say to me, why did he not find Hazael? Wasn't that the first one? Why did he not find Jehu? Wasn't he the second one? Wasn't Elisha the third one? Why did he not find them first? I'll tell you why. Because Elijah believed that more important for Israel and more important for the nation and more important for Syria than two kings was a prophet of God, was a man of God. That was more important. And friend, let me tell you, the man of God is more important than the two kings of the world. More important. In actual fact, and I haven't continued my study, but I do believe this to be true. And if it's not, I'll tell you. But in actual fact, I believe that he did not anoint Hazael. And he did not anoint Jehu. Do you know who did it? Elisha. But he anointed Elisha. Because he believed the man of God was important. So as I finish this morning, are you on the verge of quitting like Elijah, discouraged, defeated? Do you feel discouraged and disappointed? Do you feel a failure? Or you've been failed? What do I do? Listen, friend. Come back to the Lord. Get back to the path of duty. I will heal your backsliding. I will love you freely. We have a great God, the faithful one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence this morning. In the name of Jesus. We thank thee for the words of the hymn writer, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. No, not one. We thank thee for the words of the old hymn, I found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. And he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Please, God, keep our eyes on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And if there's a backslidden heart in this thy house today, please bring them back. If there's someone who feels like quitting, giving up on life, Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name, show them Jesus, the answer to their need. If there's a sinner this morning, they've never been saved, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, bring them to Christ, that they might experience the love of a wonderful Savior. We pray in Jesus' precious name.